From WNYC New York Public Radio, this is The Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Brian Lehrer. This is just one segment of our show, but every interview is available on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open, how American Express serves small business. Open offers a range of products and services designed exclusively for small business. Details at 888-779-OPEN or open.com.
People ask me what I do, and I'm tempted to say I audition for a living. Because a freelance dancer, what is that? This year I've had one gig as a dancer.
So what if you knew from when you were very young what you wanted to do with your life? You worked hard, sacrificed, studied, and achieved recognition from your peers and even the critics? Would that mean you succeeded? But what if you still couldn't pay your bills from this vocation of yours? And if, like my next guest, dance is your calling, then add into the equation that injuries and age pretty much guarantee that you'll need to find a second calling, as it were. Well, before that retirement plan that you've never made kicks in, choreographer Felice Lesser is here to look at the risks and rewards of her chosen profession. She does so in a new dance theater piece called I Am a Dancer that premieres tonight during her company's 30th anniversary season at the Studio Theater of Baryshnikov Arts Center. That's at the 37 Arts Complex on West 37th Street. The clip we heard is part of the video component of the show. Felice Lesser, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. It's such an honor to be here. I love your show.
Thank you. An honor to have you. And we are going to open the phones for dancers for whom we've already touched a nerve. Call up and tell us if this sounds like you and talk about living the life and auditioning for a living, as that one dancer put it. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or email brianlehrershow@wnyc.org. So, Felice, you think dancers have a harder time of it than people in the other arts?
Oh, I think dancers have an unbelievably hard time. It's just a career with so little recognition or money, financial security. It's very difficult, especially now.
Is there a number that you could put on what proportion of professional dancers have steady jobs with benefits?
My guess would be, I don't really know. I don't have the statistics, but I would think it would be extremely low.
Now, you're a successful choreographer. Have you taken survival jobs?
I'm not a successful choreographer. I mean, if you count 30 years of working, you know, just going and going and going as success, okay, maybe. But it's been quite a struggle. My company is like Brigadoon. We come out every 5 years in New York for a concert and then disappear again because I have to then raise money to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very hard. I have a lot of survival jobs. I teach mostly, and it's how I do it. My dancers run the gamut from waiters, catering, and dog walking, babysitting, anything, they will do to be able to pay the bills.
And do you feel sometimes that you're a professional grant writer?
Absolutely. That's what I say. Choreography is my reward for doing all this other stuff because I feel like I'm a professional administrator. I spend my life writing grant proposals, and the return is next to nothing. For this concert alone, I wrote, I think the number's up to 55, 56 grants, and we've got 4 or 5.
Dancers, what's your day job? What's your backup plan? Jonathan in West Nyack, you're on WNYC. Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning, Brian. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm a former dancer. I'm getting ready to pass a milestone. My birthday is coming up, and I'm going to be 50 years old. So I've been in the dance world for a long time, and I just wanted to make a comment that it's very important what I found. Even though as a man you tend to have a little bit more opportunities for performing, but the other side of that coin is that as a man you're expected to be to make a lot of money, and it was very difficult to make money as a professional dancer. I was lucky to get into companies, and as opposed to going an independent route, one thing that was nice about being in modern dance companies was you had sort of a regular schedule, you had a regular paycheck, and I would really advocate for dancers to get that experience if they can, to find financial stability. And the other thing is to keep their educational sort of balls rolling when they're going. Don't think that even if I have a master's of fine arts and dance I got from a college, but don't think that that's going to be the end of it, that you have to keep looking at what you're going to do when eventually, you know, your legs and your back and stuff is going to start to go out. And don't just think it's going to be through choreography. I went on and got my certification as a Pilates instructor and as a yoga instructor, and I now teach that and make a better living than I did was when I was dancing.
Has it been worth it for you?
Has what been worth it?
The dance life.
Oh, you never stop being a dancer. As Gregory Hines said, every single thing he did, and he was an actor, he was a director, every single thing he did is influenced by being a dancer. I still consider myself a dancer, even though I'm not performing anymore. It's your form of artistic expression. It's how you see yourself. And the challenge is trying to maintain that sense of your artistic self and creativity in whatever occupation you go on, whether you become a doctor, whether you become an architect, anything, you're going to have a sense, that sense of who you are, and you want to maintain that.
Jonathan, thank you very much. And Felice Lesser, do you want to react to anything about that? Maybe the aging out question or whatever?
Well, yeah, everything he said is really right to the point. And the piece I'm doing, the core of this piece, is about people who have such a great love for something that they'll overcome unbelievable obstacles just to have a chance to be able to do it, in this case, you know, to dance. And you do it because you have to. It's who you are. It's what you love. And you go through all kinds of horrible things just to be able to do it. And, you know, back to talking about the piece a little bit, what I've done, it's a little bit unusual in this form. The piece is a living movie or a live documentary. And I've interviewed the dancers speaking about just these issues, you know, speaking about their lives, and then filmed and edited the video and included those interviews as a significant part of the work. But to tie the work together and really give it a reason for being, I wanted to show them dancing live, not just so that they'd be talking about it, but so they'd be dancing and you'd see, the audience would see why they do this. This is their life. This is their love. And in the piece also is a moving set of projected video that I filmed and edited, and it's a video backdrop for the dancers that gives them a chance to interact with their own images and gives me a chance to play with special effects and create graphic montages. For one instance, I have a solo for the dancer Lauren Toole in which she dances with three other Lauren Tooles right behind her, so that this is, you know, as a choreographer, this
that's
is
either an ego boost or just too spooky.
It's also a low-cost way of a choreographer being able to deal with the fact that she can't afford to pay a set designer. You know, you can work with video now in this age with computers to compensate for what you can't get because you don't have the money to pay for it.
Choreographer Felice Lesser talking about her new piece, I Am a Dancer, that premieres tonight during her company's 30th anniversary season at the Studio Theater of Baryshnikov Arts Center at the 37 Arts Complex on West 37th Street. And here's the audio from one of those video clips. This is the dancer Kristen Licata.
Licata
on A Consequence of Your Body Being Your Instrument.
For once, I wish that somebody could just look at what a great dancer I am and see my movement and see the beauty in that, see my artistry, see the other elements that I bring, because I bring a lot besides, you know, an extra 10 pounds, which is all they can see.
Felice Lesser, how did you navigate these problems?
Oh, this was really difficult. In Kristen's case, there are two sentences a choreographer does not want to hear. The first is, I'm injured, and the second is, I just got a job with another company. And I heard them both in the course of this work. It worked to my advantage in both cases because I was able to integrate this into the piece. But Kristen was dancing, you know, Kristen had four or five other jobs dancing with other companies. Freelance dancers have to. They have to dance with other companies. They need the opportunities because you can't perform that much with any one of them. And Kristen was dancing with another company, and during a dress rehearsal, I think, she tore the MCL and the ACL of her knee. And this sidelined her. You know, this was in May, and she wasn't sure for a long time whether she'd need surgery. And I had just choreographed this big show-stopping number for her. I mean, a big piece. And we didn't know if she'd be able to do it, but I wanted her in that concert. She's an amazing dancer. And she just did everything she had to do, you know, in terms of physical therapy and rehabilitation, and she got all the way back. And, you know, it's a triumph for her and a credit to her.
And a testament to you that you stayed with her rather than just going for some fresh bones.
Oh, I wouldn't do that. This piece was about Kristen Licata and Lauren Toole from the beginning. I received a FAR residency. The Field, which is a wonderful nonprofit organization in New York, has a space, and they have a lottery, and choreographers can, you know, enter this lottery, and a few of them are chosen to receive free rehearsal space for a period of 4 months. And I got one of the first of these, and for the first time in 5-10 years, I had a place to work, which was something in itself. And I hired Kristen and Lauren, and we started working on this piece. So there was no way, you know, she put in a year of her life, and there was no way I was going to get anyone else. I said to Kristen, if you can't dance, we'll do the piece where you're sitting on a chair watching yourself dance. Fortunately, we had videotaped it as we were going. And, you know, you'll sit there in a brace if you have to, but you're going to be in this piece. There's no way I would have done this without her.
Laura,
without Lauren.
Laura in Montclair, you're on WNYC. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Okay.
Felice, I want to tell you that the piece sounds great, and I admire what you're doing very much.
Come see it.
you know what? I wish I could, but I'm in Montclair, New Jersey with 3 children, and running out on a Wednesday night is not what this old dancer can do right now. But the point that I wanted to make was that for myself, I'm a modern dancer. As a young dancer living in New York, I did the same thing, had many jobs. I was teaching some crazy amount, 15 classes a week, and training at the Graham School, doing all of this and that. And I never could have survived. I consider myself still a dancer. I'm 44 years old. But I could never have survived had my husband not been a patron of the arts.
Felice?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean...
Laura, one thing, just to keep the pressure on, the show is through Saturday, just so you know.
Okay, thank you. All right. thanks. I can maybe get a sitter.
But yeah, so right, you're talking about the importance of having other means of support, and for some people, that is, as Laura put it, a husband who is a patron of the arts, Felice.
Yeah, well, you do what you can. Everybody has to do, you know, whatever they can to be able to do this, so everybody finds their own way. I mean, I look at my dancers, it's remarkable the differences between them, and they're all doing it. They've either got support coming from somewhere else, or they're working 50 million jobs, or...
And isn't one of the topics... addressed in the piece, the difficulty of having a personal life?
Yeah, that's right. And then that's another interesting thing, the differences between them there. One person, well, I don't want to give away the piece. I want you all to come and see it.
So you'll just answer yes to that question. Well, let me ask you, what is the joy of dancing that, say, an actor or a visual artist doesn't get? The special joy of being this kind of artist or performer?
I don't know. It's just this thing that it's a feeling that you just don't feel doing anything else in your life. It's just, as Kristen says in the piece, you know, it's a high. It's impossible to explain it. It's, think of the best thing you can in your life, and it's that or better. Just performing, it's just a wonderful experience. It's why it's so hard for dancers to stop performing, because you don't want to give up that rush, you know, that thrill of doing it. It's wonderful.
Duna in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Did I say your name right?
Dunya, like sand dune with a on the end.
Okay, Dunya. Hi.
Hi. And just in response to Felicia's last comment, I'm a long life dancer. In other words, I'm in my mid-50s, and I went to Juilliard and trained professionally and danced in lots of companies. But there's been some research recently about how dancers have specific DNA tags, which make it's distinct, different from athletes and different from people who don't do athletics and other forms of, you know, how they make their life.
You're taking this to the level of DNA?
That's actually true. I saw that report Dance USA circulated.
Exactly.
It, yeah.
And it has to do with vasopressin and a form of serotonin, so that dancers, it's not only about performing. Like, for instance, I have come into doing a form of dance meditation, which I combine Sufi meditation work, which is has a movement form to it, but it's a little bit like doing, looks like Tai Chi in certain ways, but it's free form. But it has to do with connecting to your spirituality and connecting to other people. So it isn't only about, like, sort of the narcissistic, see me, I can do this thing, and I love that and need that my whole life. It's also about being more like a channel of energy, which a lot of performers talk about. And this can be done, obviously, as a performer. But
I have to cut into it because we're just about to run out of time. But in 20 seconds, Felice, is that an issue as a choreographer, trying to rein in the narcissistic, see what I can do side of dancers and get them to act as a company?
When you're dealing with people, you're always dealing with different personalities, and one of the jobs of a choreographer is basically to be the quarterback of the team. And, you know, but in this instance, I didn't have very much of that. These are consummate professionals. They're wonderful.
By the way, someone wrote in with the name of a group called careertransition.org, which is a career transition site for dancers in particular. Felice Lesser, choreographer, celebrating her company's 30th anniversary at 37 Arts from now through Saturday. Let's go out with one more clip of a dancer. And Felice, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you, and come see the performance.
It's just, there's a sense of guilt. I don't know if it's discipline or what, but I thrive on the masochistic ways of being a dancer, but I am a dancer.
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 Thanks for listening to The Brian Lehrer Show from WNYC New York Public Radio. You can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.